Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray as we sung, let your words in us take root. May your spirit be ever near us, that we might bear abundant fruit. For your honor, for the love and care of our neighbor, we pray. Amen. When the movie Home Alone came out, when I heard the premise of the movie that an 8-year-old boy was accidentally left behind by his family as they flew off to Paris for vacation, the story to me sounded absurd. How in the world could you leave behind your son? I was very skeptical going to that movie, thinking it would be ridiculous. But if you've seen the movie, you know they do a great job of creating this situation where you end up going, huh, I could see how that could happen. You might have the same question about Mary and Joseph after today's gospel reading. How in the world do you travel a full day and never notice Jesus is not in the back seat? But of course, I think if we were there, we would realize they were traveling on foot and they were with scores of family and friends and other pilgrims on the road. And I suspect there were cousins and brothers and sisters running around and playing and darting in and out and back and forth. And you're talking with family and friends along the way. And I suspect if we saw the scene, we would say, huh, I could see how that could happen. Obviously, at the end of the day, Mary and Joseph realize Jesus is not among their clan. They hightail it back to Jerusalem and find Jesus in the temple. He's engaged in dialogue with the religious leaders. The text tells us both listening to them and asking questions, as well as giving answers. You know, when we teach confirmation class, we're thrilled when a 12-year-old shows just the slightest inkling of interest in the faith or even asks a really good question. But here we have Jesus not only engaged with the religious leaders, but instructing them. Even, the text tells us, amazing them with his understanding. We get a preview of what the future will hold for Jesus. For whenever he teaches in the Gospels, inevitably the response that is recorded of the crowds is that they were amazed. Well, the religious leaders may be impressed, even amazed, with the boy Jesus's understanding. But Mary, after 3 days of searching, she wants an explanation. Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. If you've ever experienced a preteen child thinking it would be funny to hide in the clothing racks at the department store, if only for a minute or two, you know that the word distress doesn't quite capture that feeling of terror that overtakes you in that moment. Luke will use that same word we translate here, distress, and later on to describe the anguish of a rich man in hell. Now that's more like it, isn't it? You go through hell until you hear the giggling of the child hidden in the clothing rack. You're both relieved and you want to kill them. Now imagine 3 days of that hellish terror searching for your child in a large city. After 3 days, Mary wants an explanation. What she gets is Jesus the teacher continues to teach, now teaching Mary and Joseph. He responds to Mary's question by asking his own question, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? As April brought out in the children's message, Jesus isn't lost. He's right at home in his Father's house. Didn't they know? That phrase, my Father's house, is a bit ambiguous. It can be translated my Father's house or even my Father's business. I like both. Jesus is in the Father's house carrying out the Father's business. What is the business of the Father? His Father was in the business of restoring all creation, beginning with humanity. It's been the plan ever since the very beginning. Paul gets at it in our epistle reading from Ephesians 1. speaking to Jew and Gentile believers, he says, the Father chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, in Jesus we have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. What is his will? What is his plan? To unite all things, Paul tells us, in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Dr. Peter Nafziger says this, not only did Jesus come to teach us the Father's will, he says, Jesus came as the word and prophet of God to teach us the will of God, but he did more than simply teach about it. He also came to do it. Through his life and ministry, he healed and forgave. Through his suffering and death, he bore sins. Through his resurrection, he led the way to life. Through it all, Jesus was doing the saving business of his Father for you and for me. The Father's business does not end at the door of the church. It continues in the world as he sends his people to live, as Paul says, to the praise of his glory for all people. So Jesus is in his Father's house. He's about his Father's business. We understand, but why put his parents through such hellish distress? Why not tell them where he's going? Why not explain to them on the front end? We're not told. One possibility is that the hell on earth that we experience, the hard times, the trials, the challenges, the difficulties, can serve as a wake-up call. A call to stop and consider the path that we're on. But of course, you don't have to wait for hell on earth experience to come your way. The start of a new year is a great time to pause, to consider the path that you're on, to answer honestly, who's calling the shots? Who's setting the direction? Who sets the agenda? Who are you following? Who will be your teacher in 2025? In the business and noise and pace of this world, it's easy to just go about your days and years pressing forward with your goals, your wisdom, your agenda, your priorities, and assuming Jesus is tagging along somewhere, ready to step in if you need a little help. But Jesus isn't much for tagging along. He's in his Father's house tending to his Father's business, and he invites you to join him. To join him by coming to the Father's house and finding Jesus in the bread and wine, and in the gathering of his people, in the Word of God, spoken, preached, sung. He invites you to join him in learning from Jesus, the teacher, learning that he's about his Father's business for you, securing forgiveness, strengthening you in faith, calling you to a deeper trust in him, and leading you to life. Life both now, in this day, in this moment, and life forever in the Father's house. That's what Jesus has been doing this morning, delivering to you the fruit of his Father's business and inviting you to follow him. The question for 2025 is, will you follow Jesus? And if not Jesus, who? Inevitably, at times in this life, you will feel home alone, abandoned, left behind, under attack, not understanding what God is doing. But follow Jesus, and you will rest secure in your Father's house. Your Father's house, your heart's true home. It's a good time to pause and consider the path you're on. May the Lord grant us grace that we will follow Jesus the year of 2025. Let us pray. Father, in faith, we give you thanks for the hard times that enter our lives that cause us to pause, to ask what's going on. Lord, lead us a few more steps down that road. Where are you? Are we with you? Or have we simply assumed you're with us? Lord, pour out your grace on us. You know we are wayward sinners. You know how quickly we lose the path. You know how quickly we turn to our own ways. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. And lead us back to the path of life. Father, we pray that in this year of 2025, Jesus would be our teacher. And from him, we would learn of the Father's business. We would receive gratefully the fruits of that business. And perhaps even join you in the work that he does. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.